Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panai v'lecha v'chunecha. Yisharonai panai v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
That was Aaron Budgen of Living God Ministries with the priestly blessing in Hebrew, also known as the Aaronic blessing. Here it is in English.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
This is Crawford Media Group's Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of our greatest Christian leaders. In this program, you'll hear an excerpt of the personal testimony of Aaron Budgen and learn about his Living God Ministries.
Aaron Budgen is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries, a radio and online ministry heard worldwide. Aaron came to know Jesus as his Messiah while he was learning to be a rabbi. Here is an excerpt of the story of how Aaron came to be saved and how he launched Living God Ministries. It was 1989, and by his own admission, Aaron Budgen felt he had hit a low point in his life. As he reflected on his existence, he concluded that he was not a very nice person. He felt that he lived a selfish life without much regard for those around him. He believed that his family didn't want much to do with him, and he had no one that he considered a true friend. He realized that his own self-centered choices were creating his miserable circumstances, and so he chose to change his ways and take the path of learning to be a better person.
For myself, before I came to know the Lord, I definitely had a heart of stone. I was lost. I was dead. I did not know the Lord, and considering how my life was, there was no opportunity for much goodness in my life experience. There were a few things here or there. But then when I got saved, things changed. Things changed a lot. Now, I as a person did not change so much right away. It took a few years before I became a different person. But I did become a different person. When did that really happen? Well, that happened at salvation, but I still needed to grow and mature.
Aaron began his journey to being that better person by first returning to the synagogue. He had been raised a Jew and believed that familiar life would help him find peace with God, which would ease him into the new life he was building for himself. His return to his Jewish roots did make him feel as if he was becoming the better person he longed to be, but he felt something was still missing. To truly become the good and respectable person he sought to be and atone for some of the bad things he had done in the past, he decided to become a rabbi. In his first year of study, Aaron was an enthusiastic and passionate student. He studied the traditions and writings of the rabbis who preceded him. He devoted his life to obedience of all 613 commandments. He studied the Hebrew language and became an expert in its grammar. He believed he was becoming the person that God wanted him to be and had found his calling in life. He made friends and truly felt that he was becoming a better person. And then he began to contemplate the Messiah, who he would be and what he would really do. Up to that point, Aaron had not given much thought to him. He thought the Messiah would overcome the enemies of Israel and would be a peacemaker. The Messiah would rule as king over the world. As he studied the scriptures and prophecies, he realized that only Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled them all. It was a concept he understood in his mind, but it had not yet touched his heart. He remained unfamiliar with the teachings of Jesus or what Jesus would do, and so it did not have an immediate impact on Aaron's life. He read through the New Testament and saw that Jesus was teaching us to live under the law, which Aaron believed he was already doing. He realized that Jesus taught the Old Covenant because that is what would remain in effect until after Jesus died. At this time and for a long time, Aaron kept his findings to himself. To confess that he believed Jesus to be the Messiah would make him an outcast in the Jewish community of which he was a part and of his new way of life. But, as Aaron put it, the Word of God is like a seed that will grow when it has been planted, and it began to grow in him. Archaeological and historical evidence began to surface, and he began to see the truth of the Scriptures, and it took hold of his life. He now began to contemplate what the one true God said and believed, and so began to study the Scriptures to seek out what God had spoken to his people. But during this time, Aaron also struggled with his belief in God. As he contemplated the wonder of the world around him, he concluded that it must have been created by design and came to believe there truly was a God.
That if there is evidence to suggest that there might be a design, then that means that there might be a designer. If there is evidence to show that there are complexities that are beyond the realm of probability in terms of things just sort of spontaneously occurring, spontaneously generating, if that's the case, then we should take this seriously. I personally believe that in everyone's life, at some point, a person will ask the question, if not of somebody else, they'll ask this question of themselves, is there a God? Is there a God? Is there not a God? I think that this is a very important question. I have found that most people will answer this question with some form of humor, usually, but I believe that this is a very serious question, that a person should ask this question, and that if you are asking this question or you have asked this question, you should seriously consider the answer to this question. Is there a God or is there not a God?
Through his study of the New Testament, Aaron found this prophecy in Jeremiah.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34:31.
While looking through the New Testament to find a better description of this new covenant, he began reading the letters written by Paul, and they perplexed him. His feelings about becoming a better person began to pale in comparison to his desire to know, who is my God?
You're listening to Crawford Media Group Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders. We'll return with more about Aaron Budgen and Living God Ministries shortly.
This is Aaron Budgen of Living God Ministries. The miracles and words of the Lord Jesus are better understood knowing the beliefs of the people during the time Jesus was teaching. The Old Covenant has its place and purpose, but the New Covenant is nothing like the Old. To learn more about this, listen to the broadcast of Living God Ministries on this station, WMUZ, Monday through Friday from 11 to 11:30 a.m., or listen through our free radio archive at livinggodministries.net.
We now return to Crawford Media Group Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders, and more about Aaron Budgen and Living God Ministries.
After 2 years back in the synagogue, Aaron had made great strides towards becoming a rabbi. It was at this time that he reached out to God, as he put it, from the depths of his heart, and said to God, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what the gospel is. Would you show me? Within weeks, Aaron got his answer. While listening to the radio, he heard Bob George and his hour-long Christian call-in show, People to People.
We're going to go to Utica, New York. George, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing,
really,
George?
I really appreciate your ministry here.
Well, thank you.
We've been using your study books. Right now, we're in Faith, Hope, and Love.
Uh-huh.
And we come into that question concerning 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, describing the events surrounding the Lord's appearing. And we kind of got stuck on that dead in Christ will rise first.
It's pretty easy because you're dealing with the question that would have been asked by the Thessalonians to the Apostle Paul, who was explaining this event called the rapture, would be, well, what happened to the people who died before this rapture occurs, or do die before this rapture occurs?
Aaron didn't quite get what Bob was explaining to the callers, but he felt it was important to understand what Bob was telling people. Aaron wrote Bob George a letter asking for a copy of the book he had written called Classic Christianity, which Bob sent to Aaron without charge. In it was a question that Aaron had not considered. Mankind was spiritually dead. How would he ever receive life? Within the answer was Bob's personal testimony of what God had revealed to him. Aaron was somewhat confused by Bob's writings, but he was also challenged by them. Inspired by that book, Aaron returned to his study of Scripture, this time studying the spiritual death of humanity spoken of in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
We had been created differently from the animals. God lived within us, and as such, we received the perfect love and acceptance of God. This relationship would give us meaning and purpose in our lives as revealed by God. A few verses later, the conditions of that relationship were described.
Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, where he said, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
Adam and Eve had eaten from the wrong tree, and although they lived on physically, they most certainly experienced a spiritual death, which then eventually led to a physical death. God withdrew his spirit, leaving Adam and Eve and eventually all of humanity dead to him.
This, to me, is the description of the problem of humanity. That humanity died. Everyone died in Adam. When Adam violated the law, he experienced the penalty in that day, as God declared it, that in the day that he ate from the wrong tree, in that day he would surely die. And when that day arrived, the spirit of life was removed from within Adam, and he became spiritually dead. And everyone who was born from Adam and Eve, which includes everyone, has been born into this world spiritually dead, without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them.
Through this, Aaron had a revelation, one of many. Up to that time, he believed he could be a good person by living his life with an understanding of what was good and what was evil. He thought that through that understanding, he would be loved and accepted. But then he understood that he was created for more than that. He was created to live in a dependent love relationship with the living God. Up to this point, Aaron was personally pursuing love, acceptance, meaning, and purpose to fulfill the deep longings of his heart. It was then that he understood that the root of sin was unbelief in the living God. Aaron saw his sin in thinking he could find the fulfillment he sought outside of a dependent relationship with God. He recognized that he was still spiritually dead, and although he may not have fully understood the depths of that truth, he did understand that it was necessary to restore his relationship with God if he was to live as God had intended him to live. Aaron went to his rabbis with questions about sin and spiritual death. They spoke of how the law was clear on how to deal with sin, by sacrifice, restitution, or death, depending on the sin that was committed. Aaron then pressed them about the spiritual death of humanity, but he felt their response was inadequate. They spoke of the belief that Jews were born with the life of God inside of them because they were his chosen people. They also cited that by the study of God's scripture, his words lived in them, another means by which God was alive in them. But Aaron thought, what about everyone else? This was a global problem. God must have a global solution for all of humankind. So he turned once again to the scriptures, believing that God, having revealed the problem there, would also provide the solution there. Initially, Aaron did not find the answer for which he searched, but he did recall Jeremiah's prophecy of the new covenant and that our sins would be remembered no more. He hoped that that was the way in which he could be forgiven of his sin and get the spirit of life for which he was created. More importantly, if God would remember his sins no more, then no sin would ever cause that life to leave again. Other than this recollection, he found no other passages at that time that answered his question. Aaron returned to the New Testament. He read about Jesus' life through the Gospels. He read about the founding of the early church through the Acts of the Apostles. He struggled through the letter Paul wrote to the Romans until he came to chapter 5.
But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5, 8 through 10.
It was then that Aaron understood that his sins really were forgiven and that God truly would remember them no more. He realized the reality that God had come down and lived a perfect life among us as Jesus, that he gave his life in exchange for us, for the forgiveness of sins, and so that we could be reconciled to God, that the spirit of life that had been lost in Adam could be restored in us. Aaron finally found the answer he was seeking. He was not saved by the death of Christ. That was what made salvation possible. He was saved by the life of Christ, the restoration of the life lost in Adam, and the restoration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was a free gift that would remain within Aaron forever because there was no sin that could cause it to leave him. Aaron thanked Jesus for dying for all of his sins, asked Jesus to give him the free gift the Lord was offering, and received his Spirit within him by faith, trusting that it truly was being offered. For a long time, Aaron kept this revelation to himself. Several months passed, and it was now Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. It is a time when the community comes together to confess their sins and ask God for forgiveness. Aaron was still a member of the synagogue, and along with several other people, was assigned a portion of the scriptures to read before the congregation. While reading from the scrolls, Aaron felt the hypocrisy of his actions. He knew that his sins had already been forgiven. In the midst of his reading, he stopped. He started questioning the congregation, asking them straightforwardly, "Who do we think we are fooling?" He reminded them that on this day, a blood sacrifice was necessary for the atonement of sins, citing Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." He continued to question them about believing that an apology would compensate for what God requires. It was then that he told them that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The congregation was shocked, and many of them tried to turn him away from what they perceived as lunacy. The debates and discussions continued for almost a year. Aaron was considered an excellent student of Hebrew and a very capable teacher, but the congregation could not have a rabbi they considered to be a Jew for Jesus. The time finally came for him to leave the synagogue and walk in his new relationship with God. The change was not without difficulties and struggles. In time, Aaron came to understand the difference between law and grace. He discovered the implications that the new covenant had on his life and was grateful to the Lord that the truth had been revealed to him so that he could begin what Aaron calls an amazing journey. You can find the full version of Aaron's testimony on his livinggodministry.net website. It is his desire that you should come to know God and understand the gospel. In 2006, Aaron founded Living God Ministries for Evangelism and Discipleship to teach the New Covenant via radio broadcasting.
Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
The first radio broadcast hit the airwaves on October 30th, 2006. Aaron Budgen presents his teachings from the Bible through a uniquely historic and Judaic point of view. He also makes a strong distinction between the Old and New Covenants, emphasizing the differences between law and grace. In his daily broadcasts, Aaron meticulously goes through the gospel verse by verse, each day going in depth, both biblically and historically, to give the listener a deeper and more thorough understanding. Aaron has made these broadcasts available for free on the livinggodministries.net website under Radio Archive. Here is a testimony from a Living God Ministry listener in the United States.
I just wanted to express my gratitude to you and praises to our God for your radio ministry. I've been trying to invite more Christian and non-Christians to listen to your presentations of the gospel and teachings. Today's teaching was one of the most profoundly mind-opening ones to date. I so much appreciate your perspectives and insights into the Holy Scriptures. I pray God would continue to bless and anoint you to deliver more life-transforming teaching and bless you and your loved ones.
This is a listener from Garland, Texas.
You've taught me about knowing our Lord, the way you explain how it's a relationship and put in the perspective of a friendship, so similar to any friendship. Thank you for taking the time to help me, and I'm sure many, many others.
This is from a listener from Westminster, Colorado.
I'm sure you've heard this countless times, although you could never be encouraged enough, but your teaching has really made a huge difference in my walk with Jesus. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and very rarely, if ever, have I heard the fullness of the gospel taught as you teach it. You are a modern-day Paul.
In addition to Living God Ministries radio broadcasts, Aaron presents video teachings through Aaron Budgen and Aaron Budgen Live on YouTube. In these video presentations, he teaches and answers questions posed to him via email sent to pastor@livinggodministries.net. And he welcomes your questions, too. Quite a few fellowships and churches include his video content as study materials. In fact, Aaron encourages people to use his videos found on YouTube at Aaron Budgen and Aaron Budgen Live to form fellowships. And while he answers straightforward questions about Scripture, he also answers all types of questions on many other topics from a godly perspective.
I have a question from Doug in Denver, Colorado, and this is about raffles. An interesting question. A raffle, it's kind of like gambling. Someone wins and all the others experience loss. So I've got a question about the global power structure, and this is specific about Donald Trump. Was he a part of the global power structure as a whole? I have another question about the subject of tithing. This one comes from Doreen in Texas. And this is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18.
Living God Ministries does not sell anything. The ministry is devoted to teaching the New Covenant through radio broadcasting and YouTube videos and is funded by your generous donations only. All of their radio programs are available for free through the Radio Archive. The Aaron Budgen and Aaron Budgen Live videos are available for free as well at YouTube.com.
You can hear all of our programs for free through our Radio Archive at LivingGodMinistries.net. That is, LivingGodMinistries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.
This has been a Crawford Media Group radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders. Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to James Kilkenny for additional scripture readings, to Keith O'Connor, Lori Lewis, and Steve Cucchetti for testimonial readings, to Living God Ministries, and to First Com Music. This radiography was written, narrated, and produced by Gail Conroy and edited by Frank Franciosi. Radiography is a Crawford Media Group God and Country production, copyright 2023, and may not be reproduced without written consent. More radiography programs will be available at myhopenow.com.